Hey, everybody. Happy Sunday. Today, my conversation at Dream City Church, Freedom Night in America. A great conversation with a lot of people in Phoenix where we talk about the allegory of the cave. We talk about the ash conformity test and why Christians need to not conform to the ways of this world and how that applies to our government. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. If you want to support our program, because there are no advertisers, so it's just you guys. If you're listening to this, this is for you, made possible by you at charliekirk.com/support. You can get behind what we're doing. I want to thank Mikey for his generous support. I want to thank Connor for his generous support. I want to thank Erica for her generous support and Reagan for the most amazing support. And of course, Terrell for the amazing support at charliekirk.com/support. And I can never forget Will, charliekirk.com/support. And also Llewellyn from Texas. Thank you. And Lisa from Florida for your monthly support. Thank you. I also want to thank George from Elmhurst, Illinois for your monthly support. Cameron from Cape Canaveral. Did I say that right? Canaveral? Thank you. And John from Hoffman Estates, Alabama for your monthly support. Thank you, guys. charliekirk.com/support. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. Share this episode with your friends. Get them all to subscribe to our podcast. We are growing quicker than we could have ever imagined, thanks to you. Buckle up. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Thank you, everybody. And thank you, Luke. It's amazing. So before we get started tonight, we have a lot to talk about and some great things to talk about how after just two of these Freedom Squares, we've put points on the board. We've put points on the board here in Arizona. And I got to be honest, this is an amazing turnout considering it's 175 degrees outside. You know, before we decided to kind of come to Arizona and make this the stand for the entire nation, I didn't quite understand the perseverance and the intestinal fortitude it took to survive these Phoenix summers, but it's a little bit easier than Chicago winters. But I just want to say our partners here at Dream City, they've been amazing. They don't charge us anything to do this. They're incredible hosts. And I want you to consider, maybe the Lord has blessed you over the last year, or maybe you just got a promotion to support some of the initiatives they are doing to actually improve the welfare of the city around us. We got to step up and help our fellow neighbor after these unconstitutional and immoral lockdowns. And so I want to just reiterate what we're experiencing right here in Arizona, getting a lot of other churches, I don't want to say jealous, because that's not of the Lord, but it gets them a little bit into a place where they want what we got here. Let's just put it that way. So I'm happy to announce that the vision that we have kind of put forward is now growing with momentum. Next Friday, we will be launching Freedom Square in Albuquerque, New Mexico at Steve Smotherman's church. We have also Troy Maxwell at Freedom House in North Carolina will be opening up a Freedom Square in the coming month or two. Jack Hibbs at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills will be doing a Freedom Square. Rob McCoy in Thousand Oaks, California, and many more. And we're just getting started. You understand that your attendance here, your involvement here, you know, churches across the country, when they see crowds like this on a weeknight, when you have another weeknight program in the next night, that's sending a message. You understand that this is gaining momentum all across the country. So last month, our second Freedom Square, we talked about the need to get involved in school boards. And we talked about the Chandler Unified School District. Where are my Chandler people out here? Somewhere? God bless you guys. So I kind of previewed this very carefully because I didn't want to over preview my plans, but I showed up at the Chandler Unified School District meeting last month. So let me tell you about this experience. I had never been at a school board meeting before, and I did this in part because I wanted to show the power of Freedom Square and the power of regular people showing up and holding our school board leaders accountable. So I didn't really know what I was doing, So you have to show up rather early and you sign in your name. And then a crowd kind of starts to form. And what was so amazing, the first thing I just want to say is how many of you came up to me and said, hey, we're here because of Freedom Square. We're here because of Freedom Square. Now, I don't know about you. Have you ever heard of a school board meeting where there are more people that want to get inside than they have chairs? Well, this was the case, right? So they only had 25 chairs for us. But there was like 200 people there. And I think Freedom Square is largely responsible for at least half of that, right? And so let's just refresh our memory as to why Chandler Unified. Did we just kind of close our eyes and point somewhere on the map? No, because they were putting forward critical race theory, mandatory equity in symposiums for all their teachers and all their instructors. We went through in prior teachings of why that is so dangerous and pernicious and against who we are as Americans and who we are as Christians. So I show up, and it's kind of funny. The people that were announcing it, they kind of realized that there was some things that don't belong. And James T. Harris also showed up alongside me from KFYI, who's just phenomenal. And so they're announcing, Joe Smith, Earl, James T. Harris, and they're like, Charlie Kirk. And it's like, not exactly enthused about that, right? So we're let in, we're granted access. And so the first thing that I noticed when I showed up to this school board meeting, and I want you all to understand that you inspire me to also take action when I see these crowds. It goes both ways, right? That I hope that we can inspire you to action, but you also inspire those of us that are presenting to actually take more action. So I showed up to the meeting. First thing I realized, whoever thought this was a good idea should be held accountable and fired. Why is it that these school board members sit 10 feet above you when you enter, as if they're on the United States Supreme Court? It's intentionally, physically, and aesthetically intimidating, right? It's like, I'm going to look down you. It should be the other way around. It's like, no, we're going to look down on you. We employ you, okay? And so it's intentionally that way. And so you could tell that there was, a lot of parents that had never spoke before. But I have to say, before I had an opportunity to speak, the courage and the wisdom of parents that have never spoken publicly before about these issues was so inspiring. I have not seen this kind of grassroots movement in anything except maybe 10 years ago in the Tea Party, but this is a different type of energy. And these were parents that were rising up and they were saying, you know what? I've never cared about this before, but I'm not going to allow you to take my taxpayer dollars to destroy the neighborhood around us. Now, and so I want to play you my remarks there. They only gave me a minute, and you're going to hear halfway through the video. They interrupt right to 30 seconds, like right on. You cannot go a second over. And so for those of you that are going to show up to school board meetings, maybe you're inspired. You have to embrace the over-legalism, right? The signing in, the credentials, where you sit, how long you speak. They are looking for technical reasons to not allow you to speak. We navigated all of that. Let's just watch my one-minute remarks. We had a lot of fun with it.
Good evening. I'm an Arizona taxpayer and employer of over 100 people in this state. I'm disgusted that you are lying to the citizens of this state and the people that pay your salaries. You say critical race theory is not in the school district, and then moments later, you have someone come up and use that word, equity. Just last week, the CUSD Summer Equity Symposium was held, and it was, quote, to create systemic change, change your leadership thinking. How about addressing implicit bias for student excellence? If you know anything, just a little bit, about where these ideas and these phrases come from, you know that this is stomping on the legacy of Martin Luther King Jr. This is a racist, vile, and evil ideology that has infected this once great school district. I implore every single member of the school board to actually learn what you are supporting. Equity means redistribution. If you care about skin color, you are a racist. That is a bigoted, awful idea. It is against who we are as Americans. I implore this school district to reconsider. Thank you.
That was a lot to fit into a short period of time. And that was not the best speech of the night, I could tell you. Now, I do have to say that doing radio every single day, and thank you for those of you that listen to us on AM 960 every day here, kind of gets you used to having to say a lot in a short period of time. So it was good training for that. But here's the amazing news. After these speeches, and I'm going to get this exactly right, after all of that controversy, there were two open seats on that school board and 17 patriots and conservatives that had never run for anything before had stepped up to fill those seats. 17 people have stepped up to fill those seats. But we're going to keep our eyes on the Chandler Unified School District. And what was so great through the whole process is that it was evident that the school board members were not used to big crowds. They were not used to being held accountable. And they were a little bit nervous. And I don't wish that upon people, right? I don't want them to be uncomfortable. At the same time, I do want them to feel as if what they're doing is being watched by the people who fund these institutions. And so this is now happening. We're going to keep our eyes on all this. The second thing that happened since the last time we spoke, there's been a lot of announcements around this, what we've been involved in. I know this can be somewhat of a tricky topic, and I'm going to do my best to make it not very controversial or tricky, which is this idea around mandatory vaccination, right? And so I'm not here to tell you the vaccine's a good idea. I'm not here to tell you the vaccine's a bad idea. I'm completely neutral on the topic. I've personally made the decision that I'm not getting the vaccine, and no one should be forced to get the vaccine against their will. It's that simple. And so we saw this, and we're seeing this across the country, this trend, mandatory vaccination. People say, well, Charlie, they're not really mandating the vaccines. They could always drop out of school. So basically, the way, you have to get the vaccine to go live your life. Like, okay. And so what was happening almost out of nowhere is Arizona State University came out with guidance saying that if you don't get the vaccine, you must be subject to almost daily testing. You must wear a mask at all times, indoors and outdoors. And if enough class people in the class demand it, you have to be forced to take an online class. Right? So basically, you don't get any of the same sort of experience as your fellow classmates. And so we went really hard against this. And so many Freedom Square attendees joined us in this at an almost instantaneous reaction. And we said to Arizona State University, this is not going to happen. We called on the governor to step up and do the right thing. And I am pleased to say that within hours, Governor Ducey stepped up and said, this has no place in the state of Arizona, and we are not going to mandate vaccinations for college kids that attend our state universities. And by the way, the people in President Trump's orbit have been keeping eyes on what's been happening here at Freedom Square. And it really, I think, played a big role in him wanting to come out on July 24th. So mark that on your calendar. We're really excited about that. Okay. And that's not it. So we won on the mandatory vaccination program. But also the last time we spoke, you might remember that I took a very, I was very careful, but also very disappointed that the governor was not taking more decisive action on some very important pending legislative items. And I told you to contact the governor and contact your legislature. Now, it wasn't a perfect reversal, but I could tell you that there are now more points on the board than I even expected. For example, HB 2906, authored by Representative Jake Hoffman, quote, fully bans the hateful, racist, and divisive critical race theory at all levels of government within our state, including schools. And this is the first in nation legislation to combat CRT in a sweeping fashion, making Arizona the national leader in combating the divisive curriculum signed into law. HB 2898, this is a law which ensures that students cannot be taught that one race, ethnic group, or sex is in any way superior to another, or that anyone should be discriminated against the basis of these characteristics. The law allows a fine up to $5,000 for schools that violate this law. And these two work in concert, again, signed into law. So they're right there. So we identified a problem here in May, and don't underestimate the combined power of thousands of people gathering and collaborating. You contacted legislators if you saw fit in this session, and all of a sudden you've now seen Arizona take bold and dramatic action against these problems. Now, you know what's so incredible about this? What's incredible is that this embodies leadership. This embodies, and who's leading? You are. That's the true form of government, isn't it? Because the people in charge should be taking their cues from you. And when big crowds congregate and messages are sent around what we demand, that's how we start to get this stuff done. That's how we start to implement this form of policy. And I'm not done. HB 2905 is a piece of legislation for an election integrity that bans the mass mailing of ballots to voters who did not request an early ballot. The legislation also adds a class 5 felony for county recorders who go rogue and willfully violate this law. Also, HB 2035 is curriculum transparency and parental notification piece of legislation that provides parents with an opportunity to participate in, review, and provide input on any proposed sexual education, curriculum, or course of study before it becomes adopted. Now, I want to reiterate this. This might seem obvious, but while Arizona is now taking a pro-freedom moral stance, the rest of the country is going the other direction, where the legislation prohibits sexual education from occurring kindergarten to fourth grade. You might say, well, that's obvious. Well, in Chicago, where just last week, they announced that fifth graders will be given free access to condoms. That's happening in Chicago. Fifth graders. That's the difference between leadership and decay. Now, some people say, Charlie, how do we prevent Californians from coming to our state and wanting to destroy it? You know, honestly, one of the ways we prevent that from happening is when we implement policies that they hate and they might not actually live here, go move here and live here and might want to help. Actually, if they love critical race theory, I'm sorry, Arizona's not the state for you. If you want fifth graders to be taught sexual education, Arizona might not be the state for you. And the point is that when you lead and not follow, all of a sudden, as it says in Jeremiah 29:7, we've talked, this is kind of the theme verse of Freedom Square, that contest or demand the welfare of the city or the nation at which you are in, because your city's welfare is your welfare. And that's exactly what we're doing here today. So I just want to say that in the course of 60 to 90 days since starting this, we put points on the board. And if you're like me, I don't want to let up. I want to play offense. I want to keep on making Arizona a leader in these sort of pro-freedom, pro-American reforms. So now I want to get to two things that have really been on my heart to talk about. The first thing is I want to talk about this idea of being propagandized to do something that you know is wrong. Now, it doesn't just pertain to some of the COVID issues or the vaccine. I'm just talking in general. What do we Christians do? What are we supposed to do? When you see something is wrong, but everyone around you is telling you something completely and totally different. Well, there's a very interesting psychological study that focuses on this called the Ash Conformity. Some of you might be aware of it. The Ash Conformity Test was a lab experiment with 50 male students from Swarthmore College. Here's how it worked. They were told when they were signing up that they were participating in a vision test. It wasn't a vision test. The participants were actually being misled intentionally to find out what is the power of group and mob psychology. So there was one person that was actually being tested and four people that were in on it. So they brought everyone into the room, and the one person would always go last who was the test subject. This person would be sitting over here, and the other four people would be lined up. So at the front of the room, they would draw three lines. And they would ask one after the other, which line is longer than the other? And what happened is, despite the apparent and obvious difference that one line was longer than the other, if the four people, one that the line that was actually shorter was longer, 75% of the time, the last respondent would go against what they saw instead of what they heard. So I'm going to tell you, I'm going to read this study for yourself. So there were 18 trials in total. And seven students who were on the experiment purposely gave the wrong answer 12 times. 12 out of 18. And the head of this study, Solomon Elliott Ash, said, quote, "The tendency to conform in our society is so strong that reasonably intelligent and well-meaning young people," would say all people, "are willing to call white black. This is a matter of concern. It raises questions about the ways our education system functions and the values that guide our." I'm going to reiterate this. Throughout 12 trials, about three-fourths of participants conformed at least once, and one out of four participants never conformed. So you here today are the one in four of that trial that refused to conform. Now, Just to give you an idea that this is not sampling error, when they did this individually without the other people around them, less than 1% of respondents gave the wrong answer. So 1% versus 75%. And I feel right now, and I see in America, this crisis of conforming. This crisis that you have to give the same answer as the four people next to you, even though you see that one line is longer than the other. Even though you say, that's not the right decision for you. I know it's not. Well, the four people next to you are saying that. I'm sure all of you feel this almost on a daily basis, and it has a psychological almost torment where you start to question yourself. Am I seeing things correctly? Am I processing information? And when participants were interviewed after the experiment, most of them said that they did not believe they were. They went along with the group out of fear of being ridiculed. I want you to think about that. They didn't say to the people afterwards, why'd you give that answer? They said, it's because I was afraid of ridicule. Line A is shorter. Line A is shorter. Line A is shorter. Line A is shorter. You see, obviously, line A is not. But you're very likely to conform because you don't want the ridicule. And a few of them even stated in this study that they thought the group's answer was correct. They were convinced against their own lying eyes that the virus didn't come from a laboratory or whatever. The experiment concluded that people conform for two main reasons. They want to fit in, which is called normative inference, because they believe the group is more informed than they are, which is information. Now, so many Christians are going through this right now, and this psychological study confirms a truth of the Bible. It confirms something that Paul wrote about in Romans, Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God and what is good and acceptable and perfect. You see, what we're living through right now is too many Christians are listening to the four answers before them instead of listening to what God wants them for their life and looking at what the wisdom of the Lord is. And this applies to almost everything that's happening right now. I have never seen in my life, and I'm sure you agree, such propaganda, such pressure to do something that you know is wrong. To do something that even you see that one line is shorter than the other, but we know how that psychology works. But I could tell you, one of the powers of this gathering here tonight is for you to know that 2,000 other people see that one line is shorter than the other. That 2,000 other people see the nonsense that is happening, whether on television or radio or podcasting or on social media. But again, the scriptures say, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world. Here's the test for you before the next time we meet next month. We'll be on a Wednesday, right? Moving it to Wednesday next. Which is, the next time you're in a group setting, at work, with your family, with your friends, on social media, and those four people say something that you could see is wrong, are you going to be willing to answer it honestly and maybe face some ridicule? That's the question. Because the Bible tells us, do not, that's a forcible teaching, isn't it? Do not conform, instead stand firmly on truth against the pattern of this world. We know who runs the world. The world is enemy-occupied territory. You can call it anything you want. You can call it serpent, Satan, devil. This world, Jesus called Satan the prince of this world. And so are you going to conform to that pattern, or are you going to stand firmly for truth? The second thing I want to share with you, then we'll get to some questions, that I think is really important, which kind of ties together with this idea of conformity. But it's really what we're living through right now, which is actually where we get the word education. The word education comes from a Latin word, which means to lead for. Now, an interesting question is, well, what are you leading them forth from or out of? Actually, in the original Latin, it means to lead forth from out of the cave. Now, for those of you that know your Plato or your Socrates, it's okay, we're going to walk through all of it. This is actually where the first idea of education was passed. And I'm going to show you right now in an illustration what our public education system is doing and what we have to do about it, what Socrates told Plato 2,500 years ago. Then what does the Bible tell us about that, most importantly? Because these metaphors and these teachings can be helpful But if these studies contradict the teachings of the Bible, I ask them. That's why I like the Ash conformity test, because it literally tells you what Romans 12:2. And so the allegory of the cave, something a lot of people would hear if they actually were being taught in college. But the allegory of the cave is something that's really important. This is something that was passed down for generation after generation of how we are living and existing. And this is exactly what I think is happening right now on CNN, happening on social media, and so many of your friends, and I'm going to show you a picture of this. So Socrates told Plato. Socrates taught Plato. Plato taught Aristotle. I think we'll be able to get the picture up. If not, do my best to illustrate it the best I can. Do we have it up? Okay. This is called the allegory of the cave. This is the basis of the word education, not just some bizarre thing out there. Imagine people who have been imprisoned since birth. So that's them on the bottom left-hand corner, okay? They share a cell that is completely dark except for one wall, which they look at all day long, which is illuminated by an unseen and unrecognized source of light. So there's a light at their back illuminating the wall of the cave. Prison guards and other prisoners, boxes and carts, pass between the light and the wall casting shadows. The inmates are incapable of interacting with each other except through speech, and all these prisoners see are the shadows on the wall, which they deem to be reality. These people come to name the shadows and have conversations about them and take them to be real objects, as the shadow world is the only world that they have ever known. One day, one of the prisoners escapes and sees that some of the prison guards have been passing shapes in front of the fire. So the prison guards are standing elevated, the fire is illuminating it, and they're making almost puppets that are casting a shadow on the wall. Somewhat easy to understand, it's a little bit complicated. But once she comes to see the shadows for what they are, which is only partial representations of real things, only previously perceived in rough shapes and approximations, the freed prisoner escapes the prison itself and sees for the first time the sunlit world. At first, the sunlit world causes our escapee to squint and her vision is blurry. It's just pain, irritation, and even a longing for the comfort of her familiar cell. She's then tempted to return to her former life. However, after a time, her eyes adjust and she comes to see things differently rather than as shadows. She comes to see real trees, cars, and so on, you know, the difference between shadows and things that cast light on them. What's happening right now in our education system and in media and in social media and from our public health officials is we are not seeing the full truth of the truth at all. We are seeing a shadow being broadcast on the wall that we're told to look at all day long. That we are seeing a simulation of a shadow. And what happens is once people break free, I mean, how many people here have been what we call red-pilled? Anyone? Where you used to be on the left and now you're not? I love people. And so, by the way, I love The Matrix. I think it gets in, we just having a whole conversation about this before, but how The Matrix is like one of the most underrated actual Christian films. I could get into that later time. And actually, it's more than you might think, right? Trinity, Morpheus, Neo, you know, reword it, the one. Anyway, that's a different conversation. Red pill, blue pill, right? You take the red pill, we'll see how long the rabbit hole actually goes. Blue pill, wake up in your, you know, your bed. By the way, if you want to take the blue pill, like, fine. Just watch CNN, get your stimulus check, wear two masks, and you'll live a great life, right? Like, whatever. But you won't be free, I can tell you that. So, and so, the Bible tells us that we should pursue truth, even if it makes our eyes squint, and we should always question what we are living through is actually rooted in reality. In Acts 28:27, it says, "For this people's heart has grown dull. With their ears, they can barely hear, and their eyes, they have the closest lest that they should see with their eyes and hear with their ear and understand with their heart's turn, and I would heal them." In Hosea 4:6, it says, "Why?" The question is, why are people destroyed? A great question, isn't it? So Leo Tolstoy, which is one of my favorite authors, wrote these afternoon read. But he had a great question. He said, what is the power that moves nations? Why do some people succeed and other people do not succeed? The Bible tells us. The Bible tells us in Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. That's what the Bible says, that my people are destroyed due to a lack of knowledge. My people wither away in that cave, staring at a shadow all day long. Little do they know it's a simulation of what's actually happening. And what all of you are here tonight living through is you've decided to break those chains because you've been born new by Jesus Christ, first and foremost, who is the breaker of the ultimate chains. And then you get in the world, you see everything differently. You see things like, oh, that commercial doesn't actually say that. Like, I see what they're trying to make me do. And then here's the interesting part. The Socrates predicted his own death. You may or may not know this, but Socrates was accused by his peers by a 51% vote of being a heretic or being someone that was corrupting the young. And he was basically assassinated, to be a rough word, but he was murdered, similar to Jesus, by his peers. And he was actually forced to commit suicide by a certain drug simply for asking questions and pursuing truth. Now, what Socrates did, though, in this illustration, he said, you know what happens when most people are freed from their chains? They're angry because they realize they used to be in a place of. How many of you have friends and family where you've shown them the truth about something in the last year in the news cycle? You're like, no, actually, there's a thing called VAERS, V-A-E-R-S. I don't want to hear it. I don't like it. I want to just focus on the shadow. You see, we as Christians, we must pursue light, not just the light of the fire, but get out of the cave and the ultimate purpose. And that's what we're living through right now. What I want to say, just to kind of close this all together, is that if we're going to be destroyed, it's what Hosea says. We'll be destroyed due to lack of knowledge. And that's what we should be doing in our education system, to lead forth, remember, to lead forth out of the cave. That's not a good place. Human beings are not made in God's image to be chained to a wall and watching shadows all day long. That is not why God made us. He wants us to worship him, to obey his commands, to live obediently, and yes, live free thanks to Jesus Christ, the same way that we should contest for our local government. So I want to just encourage you right now. We are starting to make real movement. Now, don't be surprised, though, if the enemy tries to make a counterattack at this moment. And that's why we have to keep on gathering, keep on praying, keep on reading, keep on organizing, keep on doing real things. But all of us right here in the business that we're in at Turning Point USA every single day, we just launched the largest ever anti-mandatory, let me say it again for the journalists that don't watch anything, anti-mandatory vaccine project for college and high school kids across the country. Because I know all of us have days sometimes where we wish we didn't know as much as we know, right? But we didn't see all of it because it makes you a little bit, it makes you squint. Because you have to be exposed to the sunlight. We wish we could just be chained to the cave and just watch Hulu and Netflix all day long. That feels good. Kind of just forms, right? That's kind of what Hulu and Netflix literally is. There. That's what TikTok is, by the way. You want to see what the allegory of the cave is? It's literally TikTok, right? It's nothing is real. It's all made up. It's to music. It's other people making like you all day long. Break free of that, everybody. And lean on each other. Lean on the word of God. And so to tie all that together, where we are headed in the next couple months, I could just see it. And we have a really good ability in our program and our podcast to see things, you know, as they're happening, not before they happen, that they're going to try everything they possibly can in the next 30, 60, 90 days to ridicule, to mock, to intimidate, to do everything they can against you to make you conform to their demands. The question is, are you going to conform to the word or to the world? I know tonight and here at Freedom Square, we are here to say that we are going to obey God's commands, not that of the world. And I want all of you to know you're not alone, and we are going to win that fight together. And then I'll close with this, is that this idea of spontaneous order, the beautiful thing, where because of this, thousands of other mini decisions are going to be made for boldness and courage and truth that I will never know about and can't control, but you'll tell me 3 years later, you did that because you were at Freedom Square. And that's the bigger thing that's happening. Right? Gather, you congregate, and you. I just want to say, the young mother, what you're doing and the fact you're aware is so important. Find other, here's my other piece of advice. Find other young mothers that are just as alert as you. Thank you so much. So I just want to close on this. Thank you again to Dream City. I encourage you guys to get behind what Dream City is doing a variety of different ways locally here. Next Freedom Square is August 4th. All right, it's a Wednesday, so circle your calendar. We'd love to keep on growing this and getting more people here. We're going to talk more about what's happened in Arizona the last 30 days, what we can do about it, how we're engaged, and of course, we'll do a little teaching and question and answer. You guys want to come July 24th, Turning Point Action. We'll be hosting President Trump. You guys go get your tickets, just put Freedom Square. We'll do our best
Say that again. We'll do our best to get in, get you guys in, but we have a huge amount there. And then the final thing is this. If you have not given your life to Jesus Christ, make him the chairman of the board of your life. You'll never regret the decision. You'll be born new. It's the most important thing you can do in your life. Thank you guys again for coming tonight. We put points on the board thanks to all of you. God bless you guys.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. If you want to support our program, go to charliekirk.com/support. God bless you guys. Speak to you soon.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.